Blog Talk Radio.
Sit back and stay. Remember my ways. Oh, me like it out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave. Searching for some freedom. Searching for some freedom. So I'm tender. Sing them songs to spark memory. What is no history. Where am I? Who am I? What is this place? We're just spinning in space. I will be light.
Oh, yo, 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 yo.
What did you do? Who do you love besides you? Beside you? Many times in the name of vanity. Many times in their mind, I for justice. We died for you and still do. So I say to you, this is nothing new.
Hallelujah. 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 Family, Reverend Ariel once again, back with Iblis Culture by the way of Kol Elohim, coming out of the congregation of Beth Yahweh here in Baltimore, Maryland, with 6 more journeys in the Word of Yahweh, 6 more segments, 6 whatever you have, whatever you want to call it. 6 more weeks that Abba Yah has given me to be a vessel, has given me to be his mouthpiece and speak through me. You know, hopefully I just move out the way and he speak and y'all hear him and not my thoughts and not my wishes and not how I feel, but how Abba Yah feel and what he want and where he want to take us and what he wants from us. You know, that hopefully I can move out the way I pray I do. I pray I just surrender to his will and to his spirit and move Sean out the way and allow Abba Yah to come to me. Amen. But I'm excited because we picking up where we left off odd. I told y'all last time we left off 6 weeks, and hallelujah to, and thank you, Abiy, for giving Brother Yariel his 6 weeks and speaking through him for the last 6 weeks and feeding the family the words, Father, all of my raised. Father, I continue to ask and pray for them and thank you for them, Father, those that toil and labor in your word to feed your people, Father, those that put time aside to just listen to you to guide your people, Father. Thank you. In fact, let me open up with a prayer before I get to talking, because I'm excited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Abiy, once again, for giving me the opportunity to speak your word, being able to be a vessel for you, Father. I thank you for that, Father, Abiy. Abiy, may we be fertile ground, Father, for the, and to receive your word, Father. May it grow and sprout within us, Father. May the seed that gets inside us, Father, grow, Father. May that you hold that adversary off way back, Father, that he won't take the word that you are giving us, Father, that we fight for your word, Father, that we won't allow him just to come and take your word from us, Father, that we continue to be warriors on the front line, Father, for your word, Father, for ourselves, Father, for our brothers and sisters, Father. Father, I ask and pray for those who are ailing in any type of way, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Father, that you heal them, Father, that you touch them, Father, and most importantly, Father, that you give them a spirit to fight, Father, that you not let them let go, Father, of that Jesus, of that friend that hang upon Yahushua's side, Father. I beg that you continue to have us march forward to your kingdom, Father. And Father, though we may take time, though we may step to the side, to the left and to the right, Father, though the adversary is throwing boulders and darts and everything he could at us, Father, that as we duck and dodge and sit down and as we become weary, Father, as we become tired, as we become overwhelmed, Father, that you be that little word in our minds, Father, to say, keep coming. But don't let us let go, Father, yeah. No matter what happens, Father, don't let us let go. Hold on to us, Father, because we get weak at times, Abiy, yeah. And we fall down, Father. We go down on one knee, Father. We take a 10 count, Father, where we have to take all 9 seconds to stand back up, Father. But help us, Father, stand back up, Father. As you said, though a just man falleth 7 times, you will uphold him with your right hand. Uphold us, Father. Continue to allow us to move forward to that higher calling. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. So you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who have sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with love and favor, gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Thus are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Amen. Well, family, the door of Shabbat is almost open. It's not open quite yet. We got a few more minutes before the door be open. Pray for it. We are home, and if not, you're on your way home and making plans to hurry up and get into the Shabbat door so you can put down this week. Put down everything that burdens you and everything that came against you this week, and you can recharge with these 24 hours that Abiy has given us to recharge, because that's what it is, you know. We're that electric car. We're that battery. We're that spirit, and this is our recharging station. The Sabbath is our recharging station, right? You know, where the body is electric, so it needs to be recharged. You know, you've been fighting all week, mentally, spiritually, even. As me and my brother Ahar, we had a conversation with one of our coworkers, Mike, and one of the things he said was, and it's amazing how Abiy allows us to learn from everything if we open to learning from everything that Abiy has given us, right? And one thing he said, if think about the human being life. You know, he's a white guy. You know, he's one of those Trump supporters, but he's all right. I'm going to say that. He's all right. And one of the things that he was talking about, how we are constantly fighting. You know, even like, think about it. We constantly fighting. From the time we wake up to the, even in our sleep, we are constantly fighting. Our body is constantly fighting. You know, even think about your life. You're like, if you get sick inside, the insides are constantly fighting, trying to heal a particular part of your body. And I understood what he was saying. It was a great thought because you are. We are constantly fighting. The body is constantly fighting germs, things that we have no clue of. You know, we have no clue what goes on. And thank Abba Yah that he's given Brother Deuel the thought to go through the body and how it functions. Because we're learning the spiritual understanding of just of the human body in the daily journeys of it. Just do those lessons. Oh, my bad. I'm hoping I'm sounding all right. I hope I'm coming through. If anybody want to send me a text, that'll be fine. But if not, something I just got to text someone. But but we are constantly fighting. Our body is constantly fighting. Our mind is constantly fighting. We especially if you're a believer, you're constantly trying to change your thoughts. Right? You didn't went down the wrong street because the thoughts took you down the wrong street. Right? And you have to correct. You have to grab those thoughts. You have to bring those thoughts. You know, you think of husbands and wives, think of relationships and how just the smallest little thing gets us off track. The littlest thing will kindle a large fire because somebody didn't fight. Somebody didn't grab the thought. Somebody allowed the thought to keep running and build whole fire. But boot camp for us. This life is boot camp for the believer. And we're going to see some of that today. We're going to see what happens or what just the average human being is up against. The average human being. And we've been going through these things for, if you remember the last, what is odd, oppositional defiance disorder. That's a disorder. Disobedience is a disorder, right? The man has come, which put names on everything. You know, they got the name everything. But we have a disorder, an oppositional defiance disorder, which the scripture calls being disobedient to the Father. Man called it human. We are constantly fighting in everything we do. Everything we do. If the stomach is upset and you have upchuck, you have thrown up, it's because the stomach is fighting whatever get it out of you. You have diarrhea, so you've got the runs, and the body is constantly fighting. Constantly trying to expel what is harming it first and foremost and what does not belong in it. And this is how Abba Yah designed us. This don't happen just to be happening. There's systems that's working within us that we would go crazy if we try to just sit and think that everything that the human body is doing. But it's constantly fighting. It's constantly fighting off germs. It's constantly trying to get out belong there, what doesn't belong there, the bad thing. Our spirit is the same way. The only thing, the difference in our spirit is more susceptible to the bad things. Because the scripture says we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You know, and then you have an antidote, which is the word of Yahweh, for the human spirit. But that's screwed up. That's not screwed up. Don't get me wrong. Screwed it up. People have screwed it up. So in essence, when you look in the world today, all screwed up. People are messed up. The minds of men are messed up. But opposite that, okay. And that's where this one comes in. This opposition to defiance. And I know when we left off, we had two more to get into. The two was, I believe, some more demon possession, which we'll get to that when obviously get to that. And we also had how does the sun, moon, and stars, how does they affect us? You know, how is the human body or the human behavior affected by these things, which we know and understand, they affect us. The sun, moon, and stars have some type of effect on the human emotion, our body. Affect us in one way or another. Abiyah knows it, and when we get a chance, we'll go through that. I even have some brothers lined up to come on. The brothers know who they are. And they were breaking them down because these brothers, they study that. No, but everything in this world system affects human beings. And there's one antidote, which is his Torah. That's it. We will read that today. There's one antidote for the human, right? And this subtitle, because you know they all have subtitles, is Light in the Darkness. And that's what we are. The believer is. The believer is the light in the darkness. We're going to read that scripture in Isaiah about the world is in darkness, the people gross darkness. We're going to get to that. But the believer is the light. It's the hope for this world. You know, if it was not for the believer, if it was not for the Israelite that has a relationship with Yahushua, that keep the commandments and have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach, the Israel of Yah, the world will be destroyed. And I know someone who may listening to this and may think this man crazy. He believed that the world would be destroyed. If it wasn't for those people on earth. I believe in the word of Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh said, if it wasn't for the elect, that no flesh shall survive. Because of his elect, he will not allow the world to be destroyed. Because of these people, and it ain't for these people to get big-headed or walk around like bobbleheads. No, it's humility Abba Yah it wants on display from his people. How are we going to draw these people if we're not lifting up Yahushua HaMashiach? How are we going to be light in the darkness? How are we going to pierce the darkness that surrounds these minds? If we are not walking in humility, if we don't have a word to give someone some hope, to give someone when they downtrodden, if we're not storing these things within us to give to these people freely and to ourselves, because we need it, too. The believers need it too. Needed to. More so, because we have more against us than the average. If you could open, Abba could open our eyes, we will see demons around us constantly. We will see fallen angels monitoring us, following us, watching our every move. We think Big Brother do it. We think the man do it. Nothing. That's nothing compared to what these fallen do, compared to what these demons do. how they follow you, how they monitor us. They try to influence us of the day. Especially if you have been called out. First and foremost, his priest. First and foremost. Why? Because unlike the system, priests are on the front line. These are your special forces, which you would see in today's world system. They are on the front line. Like the world system where the leaders sit in the back and they send the pawns out fighting first. No. But your world, the priest is on the front line. In Abba's army, the priest is on the front line first and foremost. More of them. Priest. Pray for them. If Abba give you that understanding of what spiritually what they have to go through, what they go through on a daily, read our word. Our word, the word tells us these things. They're after them more than anybody. And I'm not sitting here trying to get pity for the priest, trying to get extra kudos for the priest. I'm just telling you like it is. I'm telling you what your word of Yahweh says, if you believe in it. Believe in it. Also, that head of each congregation, the body, comes after him more than anyone on the front line. He's on the front line. He is the first in battle. I don't know if all the priests even recognize that or understand that they are on the front line in the battle of Yahweh. We go back to Jericho. The army didn't go first. Many times in the priests went first. The priests had swords in their hands. More times than not. They have to be a warrior. They have to be. Yahweh, he's different. He's different than the world system. World system put the pawns up front and the leaders in the back. No, sir, not with Abba Yah. The priests up front. They go into battle first. They surround the flock. That's their job. They supposed to put the flock in the middle and put their lives arms way at all times. Another reason why I thought that we are going through this, because people need hope. And there's they getting a lot of false hope. They're not getting it. They're being disappointed at the end of the day because the hope that they are holding on to can't do nothing for them. Cannot do nothing for them. We know and understand the only hope that this world has is Yahushua HaMashiach. Is Yahushua HaMashiach. That's it. They have no other hope. There is no other hope. There is none. There's a lot of roads. That road, we understand and know that road is broad, very broad. In fact, some of the roads that's narrow. There is a narrow road, some narrow roads, but they counterfeit. They counterfeit. Scripture talks about the priests of Satan, the ministers of Satan. I mean, just think about that for a second. It says, no marvel, because the ministers of the devil, the minister of the opponent, have changed themselves into angels of light, messengers of light, messengers. And we want to talk about that too. Think about that light. What is the light? But his word. of the Torah, his word. They have changed themselves to angels of messengers of the Torah. Sometimes we got to remove some of the, how they be translated these things, and we got to get right to it so that thought can sit right there at the forefront of our minds and we can see the whole picture. They have changed themselves to messengers of the Torah. In other words, right? They are fooling a lot of people. We go back to when Yahushua pulled his disciples to side in Matthew 24, Matthew 24, and they asked him three questions. And the first thing he said, I'm trying to recall, Master, when shall it end be? What should be the sign of your coming? And I forgot the last one, so I'm going to forgive me. It's right there, but I forgot it, forgive me. But there are three questions that they asked him. And the very first thing he said, well, I'll be here this time, and you'll be able to see this that time. Be ye not deceived. For many false prophets had went out in my name, and I heard the other day. Israelite, this is an Israelite minister. And he said that in the name of JC, these Christians are running. And I'm like, you missed the chance to hit the nail on the head. It's about that Christianity. Broadway. It ain't about JC. When Yahushua, if we keep it in the context of at the time when it was said, when Yahushua was talking to his Talmudim, his 12 ones, he was talking to Israelites. His name to them, what they understood was Yahushua HaMashiach. They were Hebrews, Israelites. It wasn't a thing called Christianity at that time. He said that he was talking to Hebrew Israelites of Yehuda, children, what they would say, Jews. But, right, the Hebrew word. So he would have never said nothing about JC. Never said nothing about Christians. He would have been talking about, there's going to be some Israelites. And they're going to be saying the name of Yahushua. That's what he said. Don't be deceived by them. Because they false prophets. What? See, we don't, Israel, for some odd reason, we don't want to get to the truth. We want to dance around it. We want to act like Israel is just so innocent today. And the scriptures say otherwise. Otherwise, he wouldn't have never said, "Oh, look, the future. Be on the lookout for JC. Be on the lookout for Christians." They weren't no Christians when he was talking to them. There were no JC when he was talking to them. Well. Till many shall come and deceive many. And they're going to come in my name. Come in my name. What's his name? Yahushua HaMashiach. That way is broad. That way is very broad. You have to stay with me. You have to stay connected with me. This is what Yahushua is telling his Talmudim back then and now. You have to stay connected in me. narrow so you can be connected to me. So I can guide you. Because that old opponent, that old adversary, the devil, has thrown a lot of junk in the game. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Even for the elect, scripture says, in the same chapter. I love one, that one of my favorite chapters, the Yahoo 24. Because it explains so much in these days and times. It shuts down, as my brother would say. It's the jumper at the buzzer for a lot of things. If you keep it in context and understand who he's talking to, first and foremost, he's talking to Hebrew Israelites. Hebrew Israelites. His people. And today, that could be anyone that take hold of Yahushua HaMashiach commandments. Anyone. We don't teach otherwise here. We teach that could be anyone, no matter what ethnic group that you come from. Is there natural born? Yes, there is. But can anyone come be a part of that? Yes. Yes. And that's what we are doing today. We're holding our hands out and say, come, join us. We are the children of the kingdom. Come take our hand. That's my favorite song, too. We're the children of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we have to be these lights in this darkened world. The people need lights. They need hope. Yes, we're going to teach them what does say Yahweh, but that hammer. You think about Yahushua's life, and we won't get to the lesson. I don't want to talk for a minute. Think about his life. The only time he brought that hammer out is against who? If we just, for the students of the word, if you're not a student, that's why you tuned in. The only time Yahushua came down and brought that hammer was against the leaders. That was the leaders of the Israelites. That was taking his people astray. But the lay people, he had love and compassion. Those who didn't know, he had love and compassion. Even the leaders that was taking his people astray, he died for them too. Scripture says he wept. He looked at Jerusalem and wept. He looked at his people and cried and felt sorry for them. Not in the sense that they just so terrible that you don't know my father. Think you know, but you don't know. I'm here to try to tell you about him. I'm here to try to show you about him, and you're rejecting it. You know him. Like that on a daily, who talks about God in such a way, Yahweh, such a way that minds, they believe us. All you doing is listening, like, we should have toward them is not of disdain, not of anger, but of sorrow. Don't know my father. No salvation. Road of salvation. Sorrow. The spirit of Yahushua should be rising up for them. Down. Them over the head. Loving kindness have I joined you. And we're studying it. We're watching his life as his life live within us. And even in times where though you have bit your tongue, you have took the low and it makes you feel like a chump, that's your state. That's your state. That's you helping Yahushua carry that tree. You have humbled yourself. Tear someone up, but you have humbled yourself. And that's the season we in now, right? We in the season of carrying the stake, carrying the tree, of helping Yahushua to carry the tree. Season we in now. All had a blessed Passover, and we understood taking it. Meant something to us. Just a meal. It wasn't just a Seder. It wasn't just a ritual. It wasn't none of that. It was something that you come to understand. Salvation. And with bringing salvation, it brings joy. And if it brings joy to you, you want to share that with everyone. You want to share that with other people. The joy of salvation. And I know the year some of us had, as I had, sometimes that joy of salvation is hard to feel. Hard to feel that joy of salvation because this life blocks it at times. It blocks the feeling of the joy of salvation. So we get upset with Abba Yah. We go through many ups and downs in our emotions against Abba Yah. And he haven't moved. And we have moved. It's we. So that joy of salvation is not going to always be there in that sense. Why? Because not that it shouldn't always be there. It should always be there if we able to sit and remove the things that we go through. We can't though. But we keep at the forefront of our minds, I'm going to be in the kingdom of Yah. Regardless, the scripture says what we go through now can't compare. And we use that imagination just to try to think of how it's going to be. If what we're going through now, it says it can't even compare. Facing to be there. The scripture says about that peace that passes all understanding. It will be there. But we started off talking about the fight that human beings go through. A fight, a daily fight in every aspect of your life. Mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. It is a fight. But with Abba Yah, buy some gloves, ain't nothing we can't handle. Ain't nothing we can't get through, ain't nothing we can't do. Nothing. Nothing. And I guess we went this route and now something happened to me this week that I wasn't going to talk. I did share with a couple of brothers because I wanted to see what they thought. Oh, man. And I was thinking about the Pesach. It was Pesach Eve, Passover Eve. And I was thinking about who is worthy. I was sitting in here thinking about who is worthy to take the Passover. You know, and then I asked, is any of us worthy to take the Passover? And then I knew the answer. It was rhetorical, but we were talking, me and Abba. And, yeah, with what Yahushua did, today we all are worthy to take it. We all are worthy to take the Passover. But where Brother Shaul talking about, and I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, when he say, don't take it unworthily. It's the mindset that you take the Passover in. It's not just a meal. It's just that if you're hungry, you know, stay home and eat. It's an understanding of what's been done for you. You take it in that mindset. That makes us worthy. But we take it in the mindset of just another high holy day, or just another day that Yahweh commanded. All right, I'm going to go through the emotions. You're not worthy to take it. You're not worthy to take it. But in that sense, I understood that. So as if the necklace I have on is a Kai necklace, you know, which means life for those who don't know. And you know how the charm is by, or the piece is by the clamp, where you clamp it at, and you're in the mirror. And so I grab the piece, and you know how you grab it, and you want to move it around to the front. So you sliding it through, and you're moving it around. And I get to the front of my necklace, and the piece, oh, my goodness, I could have lost my. And that's what I said, right? Oh, my goodness. But he said something to me in that moment. I know y'all can't answer now. I know y'all can't answer. But I wish we was in front or never, because I would like to hear y'all thoughts, and I got a chance to ask a few people that. What did you think that he said? Now, remind you, keep this thing. Use your imagination. I'm moving the charm around, and the charm ended up in my hand. Understanding what the charm means, the charm means life. The peace means life. Two Hebrew letters. Yod in the chest. It ended up in these fingers. You know, you take the two fingers, you slide it around. Hopefully y'all using your imagination. And it came off the necklace, and it was in my hand. If you said that your life is in your hands, make sure you don't lose it. You was correct. Because that's what I heard. Your life is in your hands. In other words, because I'm like you, Rabbi Yaakov. I think Abba Yah talks to me in all types of ways, right? I'm a little off like that, family. I think that these messages that I see speaking to me, good, at that moment, your life is in your hands. Don't lose it. Salvation. And not understanding, not just life, because we understand with Abba Yah, it's salvation. It's in your hands. Lose it. Don't lose it. And I know if he's talking to me, he's not just talking to me. He's talking to everybody. Salvation is in your hands. Don't lose it. It's up to you. I gave it to y'all as a free gift, how we treat salvation. And we have the opportunity to keep it, or we have the opportunity to lose it. Make sure you take care of that salvation. I understood that. I understood that, and I understand that. Make sure, you know, I put that thing back on that necklace and I clamped it down so hard. Let me just make me sure. Because it scared the doodle out of me. That moment, I understood it at that moment. Keep that salvation. Keep it. It's yours. It's a free gift. But share it. Share it with the world. Don't hold it. Don't hoard it as our forefathers did. Don't lock Yahushua up within us. Allow him to live freely through you. And I know at times it's gonna make you feel maybe a little less than a man, maybe a little less than a woman. It's gonna mess with your ego at times. Yes, I do. I know I've been there, done that. That's your torture state. That's you saying that, yes, I will help you carry that tree. You are Simeon, pulled out of that crowd, having to help Yahushua carry that tree. And that's what we are doing in these last days. We help carrying that torture state. Our flesh is not being ripped off of us. Our spirit is not being ripped off of us. We're not being spit on. We're not being beat in that sense for humanity. But we will go through some things to help Yahushua carry that torch to stick. And we in that season, family. We in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Another one to deny ourselves to help Yahushua carry that torch to stick. I'm sorry, Brian. Let me get in this word. I've been talking. You do have a lesson for us. But no, I'm not sorry. We preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Yaki Elder, shoulders in class. Light in the darkness, family. My opening scripture is coming from Matthew, the Kikyahu. Reading out of the WEBA this time. The WEBA. That's Matthew 5. And remember the thought. Light in the darkness. You are the, this is Yahushua speaking, are the salt of the earth. Salt has lost its flavor. What will it be salted? And good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. It's about that fine. Well, we heard about it. Maybe somebody haven't, so we got to teach us also as we preach. Salt is a preservative. Yahushua said, you are the salt. You are the preservative of the earth. You preserve the earth. Preserve the earth. So you take that and you couple that with what we talked about a little earlier. Well, the elect thing, there'd be no flesh thing, are the ones preserving the earth. Also said through Baba Shaul that the earth is waiting for y'all. It's groaning. The only thing that gives it solace, the only thing that gives it hope, is y'all. But if it lost its flavor, it's good for nothing. You're not preserving nothing. You're not saving nothing. Folks, I know that's a little far-fetched, and it may be a little out of reach for some of our minds. But that's all right. You stay with it. Coming. That road. Tell you in my word. Tell you. You'll come to understand. What Ariel is talking about. Just talking to be talking. Salvation. People. Now let's start this new year of understanding that I am something that he said. I'm talking about all of us. Supposed to preserve the earth. He's just talking about just the earth. He's talking about the people. He said, but if I lost your favor, I'm good for nothing. Job to preserve it. When you do your meal offering and all offerings, that you offer it with salt. Okay, I'm gonna ask him that question. Why we have to offer the offering with salt? Maybe tomorrow. Or when next time we get together for Sunday, if we could talk about it or after the service and somebody can spark up a conversation after this, and we could talk about it. Why all of the offerings offered with salt? Why that? And then why? Because everything, ain't nothing just said for anything in the Word. Why Yahushua coming and comparing the believer, his Talmudim, his taught one. So it's nothing just said. And Daniel will always say, the Bible is like the game of Jeopardy. The answers is already there. What we have to do is ask the right questions, and he said it will unfold to you. It will open up to you. But here, in Matityahu, Yahushua comparing the believers to salt, a preservative. And he's comparing that to us preserving the world, salvation for the world. Then he drops down in 14, you are the light of the world. You're not only the thing that preserves the world, now you are the light of the world. What is light? You are the word. You are the word to the world. You are, that's listening, that consider himself or herself a believer. You are the word. 118. That your word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. It's his word, the light. Now he said, I am the word. First he said, I'm the light. I am the word. That's your position now. Your position is to be there, those who take hold. You are the light of the world, a city located neither do you light a lamp under a measuring basket, but on a stand. And it shines all who are in the house. Hold up now. Let's get this. So you saying, Yahushua, when wherever I walk, there's something different about me? That there's an aura that I'm supposed to be carrying with me everywhere I go? That there's a that's supposed to be emanating from me? Physical eye can see, but the spiritual eye should be able to see me, walking in you, supposed to be walking around and emanating you. But even so, let your light shine before men, your good work, and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Moved away from your Father, my Father now too. As you have done good work, I have to do good work to shine. I have to be a light. I have to be salt. I have to be a preservative. I have to be salvation. Can give the glory. Walk with my torch at stake. Heaven can get the glory. That's what you're telling us. It's more than just saying, I believe. Your word is living it, understanding it, is allowing your Son to live through me. What in that? Father can get glory. Are we understanding it? Are we hearing what is asked of us in this Pesach feast? I'm a whole ass all day after that. You probably stone me. I'll say that. We get to it. We come back. But I'm gonna read this Harvard gave me like 3 weeks ago. I believe Brother Harvell had put something out. It was about 3 weeks ago, and this is when RBI changed the thought of which way we were going. And I forgot the video that he put out, and the thought that as I saw the video that he put out, this was the thought RBI gave me about the video, and it says, the psychological propaganda against us to keep us in a forever degenerate state. A psychological propaganda against ever degenerate state. Think about that. Something psychological is something about your spirit, your mind, right? Propaganda, right? We're going to read that definition. That is against us to keep us in a forever degenerate state. That's human beings. That's mankind. We know that. We see that. We can look out in the world and see the degeneration of mankind's spirit and mind. The things that was done 20 years ago, we talk about it all the time, that was frowned upon 20 years ago, today is not frowned upon. It's not frowned upon. I'm going to read this scripture first, and then I'm going to get into the definition of propaganda and degenerate state. I'm going to read those two definitions so we can just get an understanding of what is happening to mankind. We've been through some disorders because it is a lot happening, I tell you. We are forever fighting. More so today than any time. Because today, they don't try to just kill us one way. In every aspect, they are trying to kill us. People in all of that. And that's the reason. Well, we ain't even going to get it. That's not this show tonight. That's not what we're going to talk about tonight. But let's go to Yahoo, because you know we said we're going to read that. Yahoo 5, 22, 23. That is Isaiah chapter 20, for those who don't know. I mean, chapter 5, excuse me, starting at verse 20, and we're going through 23. Woe to those who call evil good, good evil, who put darkness for light, for darkness, who put sweet and forbidden. We've been through this a million times, and we see that happening today. Who put evil, right, and goodness now, righteousness is evil. Just say it plainly. Righteousness is evil today. So I posted the other day where somebody pulled up, they had like their Bibles and they set all the Bibles on fire. We'll stop the word of Yahweh. But the mindset, right, that of the person who believes in their mind that they setting the word of Yahweh on fire. One post years ago that I believe Yaka L sent it out, Brother Polite takes an AR-15, has a Bible, and shoots the Bible all up as if in his mind, shooting up for the word of Yahweh. There's nothing man can do against the word of Yahweh. He said, my word is forever settled in the heavens. You could take this book, you could take these the phones, you could shut all of it off. Of these people now. That you can do to stop, nothing man can do, nothing Hillel know that, the devil know that, man that don't know it. Word of Yahweh, nothing, there's nothing we can do. Nothing that we can do. Even, I understand, if Hillel was to somehow, which he not, win He don't have the power to keep creation together. That is word. Power. Creation together. I'm going to bite my nose off and spite my face. What happened? Unravel. Hell, I don't have the power. Together. Created being. Created nothing. So how are you going to hold anything together? Oh. Just as well as we. See already. Look at the foolishness of man that was here already. Credit of it. Kind of where you have airspace. Ow. But that's the foolishness of man. Believing that they can own something that they didn't even create. You come all the way down to the lower form of totem pole, the drug dealers. Believe that a corner. On the corner and will kill for it. What? You don't even know what it takes to make the concrete. Oh, you don't even know that, but it's yours. In man's mind, to call evil good. And good, evil. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to those who are mighty to drink wine and champions at mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice for the innocent. In other words, deny justice for the righteous. Denied that, but quick, we see that all the time down in our world. That's the Yahoo talking to Israel back then, who was doing these things. Was doing these things, calling good evil and evil good. How much more today is man doing these things? Years ago. Thousands of years ago. That man was doing these things, calling evil good and good evil. For today, we see it every day on the television, right? The television, we see it every day, planted in our minds. And some of us have brought into it, not believers, hopefully not, brought into a man being a woman. A woman being a man, because the science has found out some way, somehow, to make a man grow breasts and a woman grow more hair in places that she normally don't grow. It found the way out to do these things, to reverse hormones and stuff like that, and to go as far as to remove parts. To make it look like a woman, to make it look like a man. Society has brought into that. Go back. I got to go back because I said something a little early. No, we condemn that. Wrongdoing. I don't care. And I know that condemn all sin. Love is not. Sometimes love is. You got a little smack on the wrist. It's hard. Not always soft. Not always soft. Let me look up propaganda. I just want to read that to you because we want to understand what mankind is going up against. What we go up against doing it daily. The psychological propaganda against us can keep us in a forever degenerate state. And this is from the Britannica propaganda. Propaganda is a dissemination, information, facts, arguments, rumors, half truths or lies to influence public opinion. Listen, deliberateness and a relative heavy emphasis on manipulation. Propaganda from a casual conversation or the free and easy exchange of ideas. When people have employed the principle of propaganda, manipulating the of information and using symbols in attempt to influence public opinion. For thousands of years, although term propaganda used in the sense didn't come about until the 17th century. I had that earlier, fam. I'm trying to time right now. Forgive me, propaganda. Information, dissemination of information, arguments, rumors, half-truths, lies to influence opinion. It is often conveyed through mass media. And this is the last paragraph right here. Propaganda is the more or less systematic effort to manipulate other people's beliefs or actions by means of banners, monuments, music, clothing, and stigma, hairstyles, designs, stamps, and so forth. It's relatively heavy emphasis on manipulation distinguished propaganda from casual conversation or the free and easy exchange of ideas. The propagandists have a specific goal or set of goals. To achieve these, they deliberately argument and displays of symbols and present them in ways we think we will have the most effect. To minimize effort, they may omit or distort potential facts or simply lie, and they may try to divert the attention of the the people that are trying to sway from everything but their own propaganda. Comparatively, deliberately, selective manipulation also distinguish propaganda from education, try to present various sides of an issue, the grounds for the, as well as the grounds for believing the statement they make, and the disadvantages as well as the advantages of every convincible course of action. Education aims to induce, to collect and evaluate evidence from themselves and learning the techniques for doing so. It must also be noted, however, that some propagandists may look upon themselves as educators and may believe that they are uttering the purest truth, that they are emphasizing or distorting certain aspects of the truth only to make a valid message more persuasive, or that course of action that they recommend are in fact the best action that the actor could take. By the same token, the reactor who regards the propagandist message as self-evident truth may think of it as educational. This often seems to be the case with true believers, dogmatic reactors to dogmatic religion, social or political propaganda. Education for one person may be propaganda for another. And that's it. That's it. That's all I'm going to leave on that. But think, because if you keep going down, it just talks about how the Catholic Church used propaganda to sway people of faith, of their faith, when they did the missionaries back in the 1700s. It was a propaganda. And that's not how Abba Yah want us to be. He don't want us to manipulate no one with his word. But that is the world. The world is being manipulated. And just listen to the things that it names, book, card, anything that it can is being used to sway the minds of the people, not toward Abba Yah, but away from Abba Yah. You have your sign. You have your religion. You have so on. And more so today, you have your influencer. Everybody got something to say. Everybody is trying to give you a way all the time. Instagram. You see it all the time on Facebook, TikTok, you name it, any social media. See all these influencers. Something to say. Today, you have more than anything. Game shows than anything. Why? Because people want to be taught. People want to be told what to do. People want to be entertained. It's nothing but game. Every time you turn around, they're inventing some new game show. Some way, people's minds that they can get rich, that they could sit and look at someone get a lump sum of money and believe and have a fantasy that they can do the same thing. We will put ourselves in their shoes and say, well, I would have said this, said that. We all do it. I look at family food all the time, and I give answers all day long. Answers. On the television, and if the answer come right, what we say? I told you that what I was on there, I would have got that right. It gives us these things. It's, we're not understanding that it's manipulating our minds. It's money. That and the other with it. Is immune to it. We're called out of it, as the scripture talks about. But we all do it. Game show. And you give an answer as if you were on the television. Get upset with the person. Oh, my God. Especially if they say something crazy. Out of the way. Where you get that from? Well, then, one way or another, manipulate. It's hard, especially these times. Hold on for a minute, fam. I'm changing my earpiece. That one went dead on me. Hopefully I'm back on. Hopefully everybody can hear me. Let's go to a forever degenerate state. Let's go to that, because that's the one right there. We understand what's happening to it. Or the manipulation that's happening to us, right? But what happened? What does degenerate mean? Sometimes you got to read a definition so we can get the full understanding of it. And it's in the dictionary, the Oxford Languages Dictionary. And the first one is having lost the physical, mental, or moral qualities considered normal and desirable, showing evidence of decline, a degenerate form of a higher civilization. That's man, that's us. That's us. Having lost the physical, mental, or moral qualities considered normal and desirable, showing evidence of a decline, a degenerate state. Two, the technical. Lacking some property or distinctness of structure previous or usually presented. That's it. That's all I'm going to read with that one. The rest of them is an outcome. But that one says it all. Mental or moral qualities considered normal. Mental or moral qualities. Today, we are not surprised if we see anything. Mankind has got so desensitized to violence. We have gotten so desensitized to violence. Our kids and some of us as adults, we play these war games. And I'm not just going to point that out. We look at football and we celebrate when somebody knocks somebody's head off. Call of Duty. And these war games, it's so real. These games are so real that these kids can take the real gun and be just as efficient with it. They have made a movie about kid playing a racing car game so well that he was able to get into the Grand Prix. They made it so realistic to the real tracks and the real cars that all he needed was a few months of training, and he was able to get in with years of experienced people. And boy, realistic the games are becoming. That's how in tune the minds have become to this video game. To these video games. And we don't believe that we are being manipulated. The propaganda is real. Remember, we know it comes from Satan. We know it's man. Man is being used by Satan. We taking it and we giving it all the way back to him. The devil and these parents today will take and give a laptop, will give a toy to the baby, a phone to a five-year-old. What does a five-year-old need a phone for? What in the world a six, seven-year-old need a tablet for? What anybody under 10 years old, after they didn't learn some things on it, all right, bam, need one for? They need a phone for. The other day I sent out, we're over in China. These little kids, in kindergarten, they don't teach A, B, and C. You know what these kids doing? They had them dribbling the basketball, coordination. They had them cooking. They had these little kids learning regular, everyday life chores at 5 years. They ain't teaching their kids ABCs. They don't teach them ABCs in kindergarten. Five-year-old, like we do over here. They're teaching them kids how to cook, how to survive at a very young age. And you wonder why these other countries, they are more advanced than we are. See, we understand what America is and what it's supposed to do. It masks itself as the world leader in everything. But it is what we are reading now is the most degenerate in the whole world. It is not teaching the basic skills of life. It's not teaching that. Kids, by the time they get to junior high, they know how to do a whole checkbook over in other countries. But out where we are here in the United States, and everybody want to get over here, I know and understand. Yes, we are a lot better than a lot of other countries. I will say that. But the other quote-unquote superpowers, they're not as degenerate as we are yet. I would say yet, because it's going to get there. Because the scripture says darkness is spreading. And state, right? Degenerate state. Mankind is getting worse as the day goes on. Not getting better. That's why the believer is so important in these last days. Dwight Abba Yah needs us in these last days to show forth his son. All right. We're going to Daniel chapter 5, and this shocked me too, but Abba Yah do what he do, as Brother Daniel said. Daniel chapter 5, and then we're going to close it on out in your comment. And we're going to read the whole chapter. And remember what we're talking about, being light in the darkness, being leaders. And it ain't have to be the one that I'm in the front of the class all day long. No, it can be that silent leader. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded the golden and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, be brought to him, that the king and his lord, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. And again, use your imagination as I read. Put yourself there. See the whole scene. See it. Abba Yah has given us that ability to see and move beyond this flesh with our spirit. See it. See the whole thing. See the big banquet. King with all his wife, all his boys, everybody hanging around. You know, he want to go get the special cups and the special silverware, right? You know, mom and dad, they used to do that. Grandmother used to do that. When people come over, hey, man, don't do that. Bring out the special silverware. Bring out the special china, right? That's what mom and dad, and then that's what our grandparents do. We don't do that now. We give them a Dixie cup with the quickness, right? We give them a paper plate with the quickness. But back in the day, again, what we're talking about, a degenerate state. They had a little bit more morals, right? They had a little bit more thoughtfulness. They wanted people to eat off the good stuff, right? That china closet was locked until Thanksgiving or a holiday came around and you open that boy, you got the good china out. You didn't eat off of that every day. So this is what happened. He want the very best of china. He want what was in Israel's temple. He got all the china in the world, but he want the very best. But listen to the story. He just had to give us that mental vision, right? Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of Yah's house, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron and of wood and of stone. The same hour, fingers of a man's hand came out and wrote near the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. We had a good laugh about this at lunch today. Then the king's face was changed in him, and his thoughts troubled him, and the joints of his thighs was loosened, and his knees struck one against another. And Brother Harbell gave us a good visual. He said, you remember Scooby-Doo and Shaggy when the ghosts were coming and they'd be shaking and then they buckling and nothing. This is the king. Wonder, did they get that thought from here, though? They probably did, most likely. I guarantee they got that thought from here. Because this is what the king, now ain't nobody else seeing it. In result, the writing. But the king seeing the hand, because he's the one in charge. He wants that good china, right? He wants that very special china out of the closet, the one that he shouldn't have touched. Then the king's face was changed in him, and his thoughts troubled him, and the joints of his thighs was loose, and his knees struck against one of the man himself. His thighs was loosened. The man couldn't hold himself. Then see it. And then you sipping you and the, you and a good time. You and Mary, you y'all been drinking all night. Y'all having fun. You got the women all around. You got the men all around. Y'all just partying. And come out of nowhere and start writing on the wall. The very first thing I know, I would have looked at the cup. Boy, what is in this? What y'all give me? But when you realize that you are really seeing what you seeing, had no color in the skin, haunting it changed. No color. Miles was loosened, smoking his private teeth. His teeth was chattering. He was so scared. Blame him, because I probably have been the same way. I saw that. The king cried aloud to bring the enchanting. Then, and the soothsayers, the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing, show me its interpretation, shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. King's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing and couldn't make known to the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, and his face was changed in him, and his lords were perplexed. They don't understand why they, man, why are you so upset? What's going on? What really happened? But listen to that. This writing on the wall, all the scientists, all the philosophers, everybody standing to what was going on. That's where the thought is. Who can give true understanding what's going on in this world today? By reason of the words of the king and his lords came into the banquet house and said, O king, live forever. Don't let your thoughts be, nor let your face be changed. There is a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy Elohim, days of your father, light and understand. What? You at that time was being a light. What Yahushua said we ought to be today. And wisdom, like the wisdom of the mighty one, were found in him. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, yes, your father made him master of magicians, enchanters, and soothsayers, all your wise people. Come. Danael. Big-headed. Why? Because we have the words of life. Right? We are the walking, talking horror. The instructions of man. And instruction manual. Man don't believe or think he needs an instruction manual. But the Torah is the instruction manual for mankind. Knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of dark sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Danael. King named Belshazzar, now let Danael be called, and he will show the interpretation. They don't have to come to you. Your salvation, they won't have to come to you, the wise of this world, come to you. Then Daniel brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel, the children of the captivity of Yehuda, whom the king, my father, brought out of Judah? We are still in captivity, and they're still going to need you. Yahushua said it this way. They will take you before kings. Care about what you got to say. Speak to you. They're going to need you. Why do you think they pay attention to you so much? And we ain't talking on this level, this low base. We talking in the spirit. Why do you think they pay attention to you so much? These demons, fallen angels, Hallel, Satan, the devil, and his minions. Why do you think they pay attention to you, Israelite, believer, so much? You think Yahushua was just talking to be talking? You think the word of Yahweh is just some fairy tale book that we can read for good story? Let's do this. Let's understand what happened when Yahushua did what he did just a few days ago in our day and time on Pesach. You know that dominion that Adam lost? Yahushua gave it back, got it back. Guess who got that dominion now over the earth? Guess who got the dominion back over the earth? You, Israelite. Yahushua took it back. But guess what else you got back? You got something more. Yahushua said, all power, authority in heaven is mine now. What else you got? You got your dominion back? You got dominion over the spiritual realm. Believe it. As now, Yahushua said. And I give it to you. No unclean spirits have authority or should be seeing us. I know, but they do. We get there. We get there to understand. And I know the propaganda that's been going on since Adam fell. Since Adam fell. But we get there to understand what is truly out. The dominion of this world system. Physical and spiritual. Physical and spiritual. Brother Paul, Brother Shaul, Yahusha, I know, the demon says. Paul, I know. And you know, I got to respect them. There ain't nothing I could do with them, the demon said. Right? But he looked at that vagabond Yahudi, those vagabond Yahudi. The demon said, the scripture said they jumped on them and beat the brakes off of them. And no, said it tore them asunder. Right? Beat them so bad that they came out their clothes because they were perpetrating a fraud. Trying to be something they're not. They did not have dominion. They did not have the authority to tell that demon to leave in the name of Yahushua. To tell it to leave. Come out of that. And we know and understand what scripture says, that some are hard to expel. Some only go out by fasting and praying. Then sometimes we're going to have to fast and pray. We have to, hey, call a brother, call a sister. I need you to fast and pray with me. I got something serious going on. When last time we did that, though? Last time we called the brother, called the sister, said, I need you to pray. I need you to fast with me. I need you to get in this fight with me. I got something serious going on. We're not using the scripture. Do these things. All in one another. I need you to pray with me. Got something heavy. And I believe what Yahushua said. Daniel 5:13. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel of the children of the captivity of Yehuda? Excuse me. Whom the king, my father, brought out of Yehuda. I have heard of you, that the spirit of the mighty ones is in you. Wow. And that's letting your light shine. When people come up to you, I can tell you different. I can tell that the Most High is with you. That's letting your light shine. That's your reputation of being a believer going before you. And the light of understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. But I have heard of you that you have given, that you can give interpretation and dissolve doubt. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. No, I don't. I just saw this people. What else y'all hearing that? Is that not the temptation though, right? But Yahushua is second in the kingdom, right? We offer Yahushua the world, right? Hey, you do this for me, you know. But in other words, if you bow down to me, right? This we offer Daniel. Hey, you'll be the third ruler in the kingdom, Daniel. I can give you gifts. I'm going to give you all that. And then he tried to appeal to our blackness. I'm going to give you a gold train, bro. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give you that big dookie rope you've been wanting. I know you've been spotting that dookie rope when our brothers walking around the cave. I'm going to give you that dookie rope. No, I'm just joking. But why the man was talking about he would give him a chain? And why you, black people, we got to have our chains around our neck today, right? We got to be walking around. And we happen to be the people that you see on every show and every television with all these chains around our big chain. We got a world famous man walking around with 1,000 chains on his neck, Mr. T. He's known for walking around with 1,000 chains around his neck, right? And this man will offer Daniel a chain, right? Come on, man. They be doing too much. They be doing too much. Then Daniel answered before the king, let your gift be yourself. Give your reward to another. Nevertheless, read the writing and make known to him the interpretation. You know what? You ain't got to do all that fluff. I'm going to read it. I don't need that. You, King, the Most High Elohim, gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the kingdom and greatness and glory and majesty because of the greatness that he gave him. All the peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. He killed whom he wanted to, and he kept alive whom he wanted to. And this is Daniel talking about a heathen king, Israel. Everything is about Israel in the Bible. Shut up. Wanted to, and he put down whom he wanted to. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men. Heart was made light, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of the sky, until he knew that the Most High Yah ruled in the kingdom of men, that he set up over it whom he will. That's a lesson right there in itself. That last verse right there. You, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart through all this, but have lifted up yourself against the Master of Heaven, and they have brought the vessels out of the house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. You have praised the God in gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which don't see or hear or know, and you have not glorified the mighty one in whose hand your breath is, amen, and whose are all of all your ways, amen. Then the part of the hand was set from before him, and this writing was inscribed, This is the writing that was inscribed in Mene, Mene, Tekel, I'm going to tell this one up, family. Up Hassan, I tore that one up. This is the interpretation of that of the thing. Mene, Yah has counted your kingdom, brought it into an end. Tekel, weighed in the balances, found wanting. Says, Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar commanded, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put on a chain of gold about his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. Darius, the Mede, received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Amen. Again, of death is they are going to need you. The wisdom of this world only going to go but so far. But as long as there is light, they're going to look towards you. Regardless of what they're doing, they're going to look towards you. They're going to understand that you are connected to the one true mighty one. That you are connected. You are the true light, the true Torah terror of this world. One more, family. One more chapter, that's John 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was with El. The same was in the beginning with El. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. Amen. Ye are the light of the world, Yisra'ah. Ye are the light of the world. And that is the end of my blog talk tonight. Shabbat Shalom. We're beginning the Shabbat, family. Hallelujah. That is the end. I didn't know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll go ahead and close out with the close of benediction. Any questions, as we always say, you can put it on the line, and hopefully we can get a chance to talk about why are the sacrifices commanded to be withheld. What is the significance of that? I want to know myself. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the magnificent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with Shalom. Hallelujah. 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 Toda Abiyah, for allowing us to come and step with you tonight, Father, for opening up the Shabbat door, Father. Father Yah, we thank you, Father, for your word, Father. Father Yah, let us be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Allow Yahushua, your son, to live through us. Robbingly, Father. Allow us to not hold back what he can do through us, Father. Allow us to be the lights in this darkened world, Father. Allow us to have for those who all come towards us, Father. Let us be ready for that calling, Father. Let us be ready for whatever come our way, Father. Let us keep a sword drawn, Father, for the adversary, Father. And let us keep a warm word for those who need you, Father. Yahushua, holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom, Abiyah.
I was born by the river in a little tent in Boston. like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. See, I go to the movie, and then I go to hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change don't come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. I said, brother, my brother, help me bleed. Then he winds up knocking me. Oh, keep knocking me back down on my knees. And whoa, there were times when I thought I wouldn't last. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it did.